Good evening. I'm not teaching. The scripture reading this evening is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up with their hands, so that you may not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him.
Good evening. Wow, that's that gives you something to really think about. You know, Satan is always after us. You know, he's after our faith. He wants us. He wants us bad. But there's someone out there who wants us even more. That's God. And as Asa read right now, you know, and you could tell that Jesus was prepared. And he was coming at him. Satan was coming at him from every angle, tempting him. And that's what we have to deal with every day. We're being tempted, you know, for the believer and for the unbeliever. He wants us to be close. He wants to draw us near to him. You know, this really rings out. You know, Satan really, really tries his best to just make you feel like you have nothing to live for. I mean, I know, I don't know exactly where Robin Williams' faith was at, but I know that he had a good heart. And I'm not here to pass judgment. God is the one who's going to be the ultimate judge, but he did a lot of good. And I know that, you know, things were tearing him down. You know, people have struggles in their daily walk, whether you're a Christian or you're not. You know, there's a saying that when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. And we got to believe that, because it's true. We just got to look to him for strength. And as Jesus was being tempted by Satan, he answered. You know, it's easy, like when we're being tempted with materialistic things, to get distracted of what's really important. Or when we're going through a trial in our life, you know, we look up to him, and instead of asking him for strength, we begin to curse him. Or we get angry, get upset. And then that carries over into how people see us. Well, if we're in Christ, where's his faith? So it's a good question to ask ourselves when we're going through a difficult time in our life. Where is our faith? What are we putting our faith in? Are we praying for the right things? Are we asking God really to help us through this trial that we're going through? When we're being tempted, regardless of the temptation, it doesn't discriminate race or age. I mean, here's a story that I want to tell you. There's a family that took their son to a Sunday worship, and it had to do with temptation. And their routine was, after service, they go back home and enjoy a lunch together as a family. Well, they forgot to pick up drinks. So the mom finished preparing lunch. She went in the living room while the dad went to the grocery store, and she hears some rattling going on in the kitchen. And she yells out, "Timmy, is that you in the kitchen?" "Yes, Mom." "Well, what are you doing in there?" And he had his hand in the cookie jar. He goes, "I'm fighting temptation. I'm fighting temptation." And see, we all have a cookie jar. We all do. Some smaller, others bigger. But it's who we call out to when in our times of need, when we feel that we're just the life is beating us down. You know, we call out to God. In the same way we prepare ourselves with Scripture. You know, and just the same way that God has seen us through different trials and tribulations, we ought to help our brothers and sisters when they're going through that. We ought to pray for them. And it doesn't matter if they're in Christ or not. I mean, a great example is in Acts 10 when it talks about Cornelius. You know, God was hearing his prayers. Yet he did. Eventually he got baptized. You know, but I strongly believe that when we give it to God and let him take control of what's going on, we share in that same victory that Jesus had when he overcame Satan's temptations. It's because he looked up to his Father and he answered him with that word. And he was being prepared for something greater to come. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I mean, that's not only a great promise, but it's also reassuring knowing that, you know what? It's also shaping our character and who we are when we really look up to him and ask for his guidance. When we put our trust in him and rely on his timing, you know, and it's when we get impatient because we don't see the results that we want to see right away. And that's normal for all of us. I know that even myself, when I'm being tempted or something, you know, if I don't start off my day with a prayer, you know, I know halfway throughout the day that, you know, I'm having a bad day or whatever. It's like, it's not because I didn't start it off. It's because, you know what, it's with a prayer, is that I didn't set my priorities straight for that day. And it carries out. And even if I do, then I know who's in my corner. If I'm still having a bad day, I know who's in my corner. I know who's on my side. I know that I'm yoked with Christ. You know, I'm not going to go through this alone. And that's what Satan wants you to feel. He wants to feel like you are going to go through it alone. You know, whatever it is, but you're not. You know what? You are yoked with Christ. When you come to the point where you accept him into your life, for those who have, then you also have to remember that he's there. You are yoked with him. You share in that same victory. The same victory. But you also have to be prepared. You know, like Dave said earlier in his sermon this morning, we got to remember to pick up our cross daily, every day. And not forget, you know what, whose example we should be following. And not being conformed to the patterns of this world. So in 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13, it reads, "Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." That's how much love he has for us. That's how much love he has for us. He knows our hearts, but so does Satan. And he's waiting. He's waiting for us you know what, to be feel like we're defeated by whatever problem we're facing. It could be small, it could be big, but he's just waiting just to devour us. But you know what? God is there to give us the strength to endure it. God is there to, if we ask him for the guidance, he will guide us. But we have to be willing to surrender ourselves completely and give whatever it is, whatever burden we're carrying, whatever problem, you know, Satan has put in our mind that, you know what? He doesn't want nothing to do with you. You know, this is where I want you to be. No, that's where Satan wants us to be. He wants us to feel that way, but that's not where God wants us to be. That's not how he views us or how he sees us. This is how he views us. That he was willing to sacrifice his son for us. That's how much he loves us. We need to remind ourselves of that. In Romans 8:17, it says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." Isn't it, again, reassuring? It's beautiful knowing that we have that. I mean, we share in that victory. You know, we also share in his sufferings. This is right. We're talking about Jesus going back to, you know, the beginning. We're talking about Jesus being tempted. And at the end, even he suffers. He not only suffered on the cross, but he suffered there when he was being tempted. In Matthew 4:10, it says, "Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him." So obviously, he was physically hurt. And sometimes, not only are we physically going through a battle, but we could also be going through it spiritually. Whether it's in the flesh or in the spirit, he will give us the strength that we need. He will give us that. Also the people, when we pray to him, you know, that's why it's called the body. We are the body of believers. And when one part suffers, the whole body suffers. And I really strongly believe in that. You know, when I see my brother Bruce in pain, it aches me to see him in pain. But also, you know, over the course of these last 3-4 years, you know, lifting, you know, Bruce up and his struggles up in prayer, I strongly believe that, you know, God led him to the right doctors. You know, if he would have been impatient, sometimes, you know, we want to do it, you just want to get rid of the pain or whatever. Operation was offered a long time ago. But maybe that wasn't what God wanted. And sometimes we have to learn to be patient also. We're in the midst of the storm and not be discouraged. And look to one another to see who is feeling down so we can help lift them up. I mean, that's what we're called out to be. You know, to be, that's exactly what Jesus didn't give up his life on the cross for nothing. He gave it up for us so that we can have eternal life with him. And that's a victory for all of us. And I think it's something that we need to continually remind ourselves that we share in that victory. And believe me, Satan's after that. I know that I mentioned to all of you at the end of VBS that Friday, my sister's house had burned down. And she called me extremely hysterical, saying, "Just pray for my son Pablo," which is my nephew. "We don't know where he's at." And, you know, Marco was with me. We prayed. Later on, she called and she said that they had found him, that he was fine. She didn't care about what had burnt down. And she sincerely meant that when she told me. She goes, I don't care about anything in there. And everything did burn down. You know, amazingly, I don't know how this happened, but, you know, a couple of photo albums she was able to save, they didn't. But everything else, I mean, was just completely gone. That Sunday, I wish I would have brought a picture to show you what she had to face and deal with, you know, that Friday. That Sunday, not only did she grab all her kids and her daughter and her future son-in-law and grandson, and then went and worshiped God. I mean, that tells you, you know what? Satan was really after them all, really trying to knock them down. But she didn't raise that flag of defeat. No, she went to service that same Sunday and praised God and thanked him for sparing her family. Because she had the one thing that was, you know, the most important, and that's her family, their well-being. And even sometimes when we lose someone, we can be discouraged. When we're going through a hard time in our marriage or a relationship, we can be discouraged. At work, you know, we can be discouraged. And it's easily, you know, when there's a monkey wrench, everything's going good, and then there's a monkey wrench thrown in there. It is. I think it's an opportunity for us to really get on our knees and ask for God's guidance, for his strength, and pray for those also who are going through that difficult time in their life, and not be selfish and just keep it to ourselves. And I'm going to read to you from this verse here in have it over here. Give me a second, I'll find it. It's in Philippians 2, and it's 2:1-4. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Amen. It real, you know, we all been through a struggle or a temptation at one time or another, or we might be going through one right now. Just before coming here, I was watching a show on how young adults right now, they're being tempted, you know, by everything, even everything they see on TV and all these shows that are coming out. It's all to get them to really live an ungodly life if you really pay attention to what's being put out there. And these young men decided it's either we conform to the world or we become imitators of Christ. And when we do that, when we really surrender and just not give in to whatever temptation or anger or whatever is weighing us down, God is ready to lift us up. Might not be on your time, but he'll know when. He'll know when to lift you up. In 1 Peter 5:6-9, it's again reassuring that we're not alone. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist them, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And you're not alone. I mean, sometimes we feel that way. And when you fellowship or when you talk with your brothers and sisters and you share your struggles and what it is that you're going through, they might have a scripture or they might have a word of encouragement. They might, you know, what they might share with you a same story or same instance that they had to go through and how they overcame it. And I think sometimes when we don't give those types of testimonials and we don't share or we don't fellowship with one another and we don't develop that intimate relationship, we fail to do that. It's there. I mean, if somebody already knows where to go and share God's word, you know, it makes it a lot easier. It doesn't make you feel like you've been forgotten, like you don't matter, because everyone does matter. Again, it says to always be prepared in 1 Peter 4:1-2. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Are we living for the will of God? You know, when we're going through it, I mean, are we preparing ourselves when we're going through it? Are we preparing ourselves with scripture? Are we letting our brothers and sisters know that we're going through a trial, that we're struggling or fighting some temptation that can help, you know, lifting us up in prayer, whatever it is that we're going through? But I mean, are we? Are we doing the will of God? It's a good question to ask ourselves. You know, or is it our will? Or are we letting Satan take that victory away? Are we handing it over to him? In 8-11, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the same strength God provides, so that in all the things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I mean, he's there willing to give you that strength and that power to overcome whatever it is that you're going through. Just the same way that he gave it to Jesus. Jesus used scripture, and he called, you know, and I know that in spirit, not only scripture, but spirit, and he was prepared. And God was also preparing him and shaping him, his father, for what was to come. I strongly believe that. I mean, for he even says that he was hungry. I mean, you can tell. When we're hungry or it's something and Satan comes, it's really easy. You know what? I'll give you this, but you're going to have to give this up. That's where temptation starts taking over. That's when we have to let God in and take over. You know, I really believe that the more that we spend time talking about negative things and, you know, really feeling guilty or whatever it is, instead of asking for forgiveness and asking for that guidance, we start allowing and letting these things into our life. And then that's what begins to shape and mold us. Instead of letting God come into our lives and allowing Him to shape and mold us. I know it's a daily struggle, you know, for some of us, and to really hand it over to Him. You know, and it's fear. But we shouldn't live in fear. Not that type of fear. Not the fear that's going to drive us into the arms of Satan. You know, He's there and more than ready to allow us to be victorious as well, the same way that Jesus overcame Satan when He was being tempted. Here's something for you to take throughout the week. You know, if you're going through a hard time, if you feel like you're fighting temptation, you're just struggling with something, doesn't matter, get a post-it note. If you don't know where to go in the Bible, I'm sure Dave, myself, there's the leaders, Joe Tips, more than willing to help you find the scripture that will help encourage you so that you can begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Here are two. Philippians 4:13. It reads, I can do all things. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. That's God in Jesus Christ. And I like to close out with this. If we are the body, and Jesus is the head of the body, then we also need to remind each other, or one another, that we also share in that victory. If He died on the cross and rose on that third day, overcoming death in this world, we also share in that victory when we give ourselves over to Christ into baptism. In the same way that He overcame Satan and his temptations, we can also overcome Satan in sharing that same victory. See, that victory belongs to every single one of you here. And even the ones that aren't here. He knows our weaknesses and our strengths. And I think we should also know each other's weaknesses and strengths so we can help each other. So I'd like to close out with this. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it said, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have anything that you need prayer on, if you're going through a hard time right now and you would like us to pray with you or pray for you or whatever it is, or if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet into your life and would like to do so, then I would ask you to come up to the front as we stand up and sing the song.